1 John chapter 5. Is there anybody here for the very first time? You've never been here before? Could you put, hey, it's good to have you tonight. Very, very good to have. Did they get you a packet?
They did.
Very good. Did it have $20 in it?
No, I was disappointed.
Yes, but I'm going to tell you, these ushers are crafty. You got to watch them. Yeah, amen. Very, very good to have you tonight, sir. Very good to have you. Take your Bibles, if you will, 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. Let's all stand together. We're going to read just one passage. Just one passage. 1 John chapter 5, in verse 11. The Bible says, "And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life." Boy, that's difficult, isn't it? Aren't you glad that's wonderfully easy? "He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know," K-N-O-W, know, put your eyeballs on that word, "that ye may know," not hope, not guess, not think, "that you may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Brother Marty, can you lead us in prayer, please? Please. Amen. You may be seated. Again, thank you so much for coming tonight. Does my heart good to see a good-sized crowd on a Sunday night. Thank you for giving to the Lord your time and you being here with us. If you look at 1 John chapter 5, 11 through 13, I want to draw your attention to something very simple. In those verses, I see nothing that has to do anything with works. I see nothing in those verses that has anything to do with a good person that you are. I see in these verses nothing that contains any thought whatsoever that has anything to do with us getting right with God. So there's four things that our salvation is not. Those are the things I want to talk about tonight. There's four things in our life that our salvation is not. Four things that salvation is not. Number one, salvation is not contained to a special group of people. If you think about John chapter 3, verse 16, I want you to turn over there real quickly. I know you know this verse, but I'm going to have you turn there tonight. John chapter 3, verse 16. I want you to read this verse because I want you to see what it says. The Bible says in John chapter 3 and verse 16, "For God so loved the good people, for God so loved the righteous, for God so loved the tall." For God, that's a good thing because I'm not tall. "For God so loved the skinny." Again, thank God. "For God so..." Be quiet. Already I got to pick on you. Leave me alone. I am so thankful that this says, "For God so loved the world." That's everybody. Doesn't matter who you are, what you're doing, where you've been, where you're going. "For God so loved the world." He loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten Son. The NIV says only Son. That's not true. It's not his only Son. We are the sons of God by adoption. I'm thankful he gave his only begotten Son. He gave his only begotten Son that whosoever... Who's that? That's anybody. Nowhere in the Bible do I find where salvation is contained to a certain group of people. Nowhere in the Bible do I find it contained to a certain group, a certain faction, the rich, the poor, the needy, the not needy. I don't see anywhere in the Bible where it specifies who can be saved. I see where it says everyone can. He gave his only begotten Son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Take your Bible and turn to Romans chapter 10 real quickly. You say, "I don't believe you." That's all right. I got another verse. There's lots of them, by the way. We're just going to pick on two tonight. It is not contained to a group of people. Romans chapter 10. This is part of the Romans road. Romans chapter 10. The Bible says, starting in verse 12, "For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek." That contains everybody in the whole wide world. Everybody. "There's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him." How many people does that include? Glory to God, that includes everybody. Isn't that wonderful? Glory to God, it includes everybody. What this does for you is this. You don't have to worry about being high-minded. God included you. You don't have to worry about being low-minded. God included you. You don't have to worry about getting right. God included you. You don't have to worry about the fact that you're wrong. God included you. It doesn't matter who it is. God included you. It's not contained to a certain amount of people. Salvation's for everybody. Sadly, not everybody's going to take it. But it's available to everybody. His death was good enough. His shed blood was good enough. I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful that this Bible tells me there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever is good, for whosoever is right, for whosoever is tall, short, whatever, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved is not a Baptist term, by the way. We use it a lot, glory to God. It's a biblical term. Salvation, what are you getting saved from? You're getting saved from an everlasting pit called hell, and I'm so thankful I don't have to go there. Aren't you glad you don't have to go there? If you're saved tonight, you're never going to see hell, glory to God. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Number one, it can't be contained to a special group of people. Number two, it is not ever conditional. I love the fact that salvation is not conditional. You don't have to be in the right condition to be saved. You never have to be in the right condition to be saved. All you have to do is believe. The Bible says in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, turn over there very quickly. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. For by grace, the Bible says in Ephesians 2, 8, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It's not your condition. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You say, well, I don't come to church all the time. Not coming to church all the time has nothing to do with your salvation. That's not a condition of your salvation. You say, I don't tithe all the time. That has nothing to do with your salvation. I don't do what I should do in the choir all the time. That has nothing to do with your salvation. I don't pray as much as I need to you. That has nothing to do with your salvation. I haven't gotten baptized. That has nothing to do with your salvation. I think you ought to get baptized. I think you ought to tithe. I think you ought to be in choir. I think you ought to come to church all the time. But none of those things have anything to do with your salvation. The conditions are irrelevant. God has paid it all through Jesus Christ. Number three, first one is it cannot be contained to a certain type of people. Number two, it is not conditional in your life. All you have to do is believe him. Number three, it is not consequential. Look at this now. I want you to see these verses in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. Let's go over this one more time. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 says this, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I want you to remember that. Turn over to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. John chapter 10. I love to hear the rustling of pages. These are some of my favorite verses in all the Bible right here. All across the world today, people are being told that they can lose their salvation. All across the world, the people are being told. I'll never forget, I worked at a campground for a little while, and had a man come up to me, and I didn't know a whole lot about the Bible at this time. But I had a young man come up to me, and we got into a little debate. This debate was about eternal security. By the way, I've had many of these debates throughout the years. But I got to be honest with you, I don't know how people could live with the thought of not having eternal security. I can't imagine, I can't even fathom being worried every single day of your life that Jesus Christ couldn't take care of you. I just can't imagine that. And I started getting this argument with him. So you're telling me, he said, that if you get saved and then you go out and commit a murder, that you still go to heaven? I said, yes. By the way, it doesn't matter what you've done with your life. You get saved, it doesn't matter what you do with your life. Now, should you be good? Yes. Should you be a good person? Certainly. That's tough to do, I understand that. But you ought to be a good person. You ought to want to be a good person for that matter. But your salvation is not contingent upon consequence. I'll give you a good example. Let's think about King David. I think King David was a saved man. How about you? I think King David was a saved man a lot of years before he and Uriah the Hittite crossed paths. I think he was a saved man long before he decided to send Uriah the Hittite out to war and he stayed home. I think he was saved for a long time before he decided to get up on that roof as being a lazy king and not doing what he's supposed to do. I think he was saved a long time before he looked off that roof down to a beautiful lady bathing in the nude. I think he was saved a long time before he decided to go ahead and put Uriah the Hittite at the vanguard of the assault, and then Uriah the Hittite was killed. I think he was saved a long time. I got to be honest with you, David's in heaven today. Was it good what he did? No. But your salvation has nothing to do with consequence. You ought not want to do those things. You ought not want to be that party. You ought not want to say those things and be those people. But I got to be honest with you, your salvation is bigger than what you can do. Glory to God, I'll amen myself. Amen! Because there's days that in my life I've done the wrong thing. There's days, by the way, can I help you out a little bit? Let's say you can lose your salvation. Can anybody tell me what sin it would be that would cause you to lose it? Does anybody have a list? I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not sure I've ever seen the list of things that you can do to lose your salvation. Should you want to be good? Yes. But being good is not contingent upon your salvation. There's no consequence to salvation. You're either saved and you're always saved, or you're never saved and you don't get saved. There's no two ways. There's no two roads. That's it. Amen. You're either saved or you're lost. That's all there is to it. By the way, you don't have to be Baptist to be saved. But it sure does feel better. So anyways, your salvation cannot be contained to a special group of people. Your salvation is not conditional upon what kind of person you are. Your salvation is not consequential. No consequences get you saved. No consequences take it away. Well, bless God, you must be baptized to be saved. I don't see that anywhere in Scripture. I've read it once or twice. I don't see anywhere in there. By the way, if that's true, then you must live awfully close to a water source. Because if you can lose your salvation, you got to get dipped again to get it back. You better have a swimming pool. Well, that may sound silly to you, but that's the silliness of humanism. My salvation is taken care of by God. It's not taken care of by me or anybody else. I don't have to tell the priest. I don't have to, by the way, wouldn't that be weird? I don't know if anybody ever done that in this room. Could you imagine your salvation being contingent upon keeping the sacraments? Does anybody even know what they are? Here, let me take you one further. Oh, preacher, those are Catholics. I'm not going to hit on them, but I will ask you this. Do you think your salvation is contingent upon keeping the Ten Commandments? I've heard that before. Well, bless God, I keep the Ten Commandments. My next question to them is, what are they? Unless you got the list tattooed to your forearm, you're not going to be able to pull them up. And I'm against tattooing. So it's amazing to me that life and the way that people live and the way that people put a price on their salvation and put a judgment upon their salvation where they can figure out whether you're saved or unsaved. I'm going to tell you, I'm glad I don't have to live that way. My salvation was paid for by Jesus Christ, and glory to God, it was paid in full. Amen. There's no salvation contained to a special group of people. It's not just for the Baptist, by the way. Salvation's for everybody. It really, really is. And I think everybody across the world has an opportunity to get saved. The Bible teaches us that. But I'm so very thankful that salvation is preached in the ears of people that listen to truth out of this pulpit. Because I'm going to tell you right now, I'd be scared to death if I wouldn't hear the truth that God wants us to hear. Not consequential. I want to read these verses to you in John chapter 10, some of my favorite verses. The Bible says, starting in verse 27, my sheep, that's the saved people, my sheep hear my voice. John 10, 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give, is this something that you pay for? I give unto them the gift of God. I give unto them eternal life. Can I ask you a question? If it's something that you can lose, how then can it be eternal? If it's something that you can get rid of, and by the way, there's a sect of people out there that teach you can give your salvation away. No, God, I don't want it anymore, thank you. That house you started to prepare for me, put a sign in the front yard, I'm not going to be needing it. I don't want salvation, go ahead and send me right to hell, that'd be just fine. Is that the dumbest thing you've ever heard in your entire life? That you can get it and then give it away and it's all right? If you can give it away, you never had it. I'm going to tell you right now, you get saved, you want to stay saved. Amen. Wow. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall what? Never perish. They shall never perish. They shall never perish, never perish, never perish. There's never a time in their life where they're going to perish. I'm going to die and I'm going to be with him. Glory to God. See, you grab a hold of these promises. You got to realize what your salvation is, because we're dirty, rotten dogs most of the day. Come on, be honest with me. You holy roller, Pharisaical Sadducees. I don't know if you can be all those things at once, but glory to God. Understand this, at the end of the day, you look at Jesus Christ and he still loves you. He still cares about you. And he says to you with a promise, you shall never perish. Boy, I hold on to these verses, buddy. Because there's times when I don't do what I'm supposed to do. There's times when it's been the same six tracks in my pocket for a very long time. There's times when I want to give that track. And by the way, I think not giving a track out is just about as bad as you can possibly get. Well, bless God, I'm not going to do it. Why? Because that person looks too scary. Let me tell you, you look scary too. You need to look at yourself before you go out. You'll understand they're more scared of you than you are of them. You go out and hand out these tracts, you're giving them an opportunity to have what you have. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm so thankful in my life I can look to this and said, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Wrap your head around that for a minute. You get saved, and Jesus Christ puts you in his hand. No man shall be able to pluck you out of my hand. Now, you must understand something. This is the hand of Jesus Christ. It's not my hand, although I'm not the weakest man in the world. But I'm going to tell you, it'd take you an awful lot to open up this fist and take that hanky out of my hand. Imagine if that's Jesus' hand holding you. See, he died for you. I bet he's got a pretty good grip on you. By the way, you that are holding out faithful, you ain't holding on to him. He's holding out to you. Wrap your head around that too. Listen to me now. But it doesn't stop there. No man, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, that's God the Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. Is there anybody greater than God the Father? No, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Wait a minute now. So you took Jesus' hand, and you put Jesus' hand inside of God the Father's hand, and you're inside of those two hands.
I'm going to give my salvation away.
I don't think so.
I'm going to do something bad, and I'm going to get out of these two hands.
I don't think so. Because my Bible promises me that they shall never perish. My Bible promises me that no man shall be able to pluck them out of my hand. My Bible promises me that no man shall be able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. And I'm going to tell you right now, if you live your life in fear of losing your salvation, you better take great control of your emotions and say, wait a minute, my Bible tells me that I am saved forever. Sealed until the day of redemption. I always preach this and I get the biggest kick out of this. We Baptists, we talk a good game. Praise the Lord. We're good at talking. We're good at doing talking things. But when the rapture happens, I cannot wait to see the look on Baptist faces. I know I talk about this all the time. And it's coming. The rapture's coming. This world's crazy. Tell me, come on. This world's crazy. You can go out in the street and shoot a cop, no problem. But if a cop shoots you, he's going to jail. Tell me I'm wrong. And all across the country right now, people are getting shot. Nobody's talking about it. But if a cop shoots somebody, it makes national news. This world's going crazy. I would to God I had a cop next door, across the street, in my yard, out in my front driveway, parked on my street. I want the cops as close to me as I can possibly get them. They're there for my protection. I love the fact that they do that for almost no wages. Here I am living in a world that's gone crazy, and I'm thinking about the Bible and all the signs we're supposed to look for. We're living it right now. He could come tomorrow, and he could come right now. That man be cool. That is what we always want as preachers. Come while I'm preaching. Wouldn't that be great? I believe there's preachers that would say, hold on a minute, Lord, I was only on point two. I was just getting them ready. In our lives, we walk a world that is uncertain. At the very, very best, It's uncertain. We live a life that has no guarantees. Boast ye not of the morrow. You don't know what a day is going to bring forth. We live a life that we can't say what's going to happen. I've seen crazy things happen in people's lives. One minute you have your health, the next minute you're fighting for your life. One minute you're driving down the road, the next minute you're in the back of an ambulance. All those things you cannot predict. How many know what they're going to do tomorrow? You know, I'm going to be honest with you. We have plans and we're supposed to. But we really don't know. Do you see how important the word know is in 1 John chapter 5? I can't know a whole lot of what's going on. I'm sure that this young man has studied all week for his tests. But I can't predict what his grade's going to be. Man, that's rough. I can't predict what that's going to be. I don't know what's coming tomorrow. But I do know what's coming in eternity. I do know there's going to be a day I'm walking streets of gold.
Amen.
I do know there's going to be a day when I see walls of precious gemstones. I do know there's going to be a day when I don't feel any more pain. I know there's going to be a day when I have no sorrow. I know there's going to be a day when the sun is unnecessary because the sun is the light of heaven. I'm glad the sun's not necessary. We never see it around here. We're not sure that we have it. I'm so thankful that this life is only going to be a vapor. What is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little while and then vanisheth away. Aren't you glad that that little time is just for a little time? And aren't you glad that eternity... Do you even know what eternity is? Eternity. I can't even wrap my head around forever. I can't even wrap my head around what just the little thought that the Bible gives us about how great heaven's going to be. I can't wrap my head around that. I can't think about how great it's going to be to meet Paul and to meet Timothy and to see David and to see Jesus Christ. I cannot wait to do that. And that's going to be forever. That's promised us. And we live in this world and work in this world and sojourn in this world. But understand this, we are just sojourning here. We have a job to do. Yes, we really do. We're supposed to tell people about Christ and tell them about this wonderful salvation. And that salvation has no consequences to it. But if you never win another soul, that has nothing to do with your salvation. If I never preach another message, that has nothing to do with my salvation. If I never read another line, that has nothing to do with my salvation. My salvation is bought and paid for by the precious redeeming blood of Jesus Christ, and it will never go away. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. My salvation has no consequential aspect. Turn to Hebrews chapter 13. Boy, I'm glad that my salvation's eternal. While we're here, my salvation is not going to be without contentment. Now, I'm saved, and it has nothing to do with my being content, but my salvation personally, I'm going to be content with what God has given me. Look at this now. In verse 5, let your conversation be without covetousness. Your life, the way you walk, the way you talk, let it be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Why would you read these things as it goes to my salvation? Remember all the good things we talked about? How wonderful heaven's going to be? How the foyer in my house is going to have a Dairy Queen right smack in the middle of it? Hey, you know it's going to be true. That's Bible. It was in the Apocrypha. Now listen. By the way, that's a joke. Don't take that seriously. Good night in the morning. I'm going to look in the Apocrypha for the word Dairy Queen, buddy. It better be in there. Not going to be in there. Matter of fact, the Apocrypha doesn't matter anyways. It means not inspired, so whatever. All those things we talked about. Why do we worry so much about what's going on here? Think about this for a minute. Could you think about this with me for a minute? Godliness with contentment is great gain. If you think about your salvation and all the wonderful things that it is, you can't do anything to get rid of it. God is never going to let you perish. Why are we so worried about what's going on down here? I believe we should be good stewards of our time. I believe we ought to do with the things that God has given us the best that we can while we're here. I think we ought to redeem the time, because I'm going to tell you, the days are growing short. I think you better tell people about Jesus Christ. But the material things of this world that are going to end up burning up anyhow, I think we ought to be content with the things that God has given us. Because the greatest thing in the whole wide world He could ever give you is the one thing that can never be taken away. The one thing that could never, ever, ever leave you. The one thing that no man shall be able to pluck out of his hand. It's your salvation. You've got that no matter what. You could literally lose everything else, but you could never lose your salvation. Isn't that something that we can be content with? I want you to go back one more time to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. Verse 11. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. That life's forever. If it could end, it wouldn't be eternal. God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. It's not in you. It's not in what you've done. It's not in how good you are, how bad you are. It's not any of those things. It's in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life. Wow! And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. It's so hard to understand. If you've asked Jesus to save you, glory to God, you've got life. If you haven't, you don't have life. Real hard, isn't it? Nowhere in there do you see one work. Nowhere in there do you see one person's attitude. Nowhere in there do you see one person's criminal record. Not one of those things is listed there. You know what's listed there? Jesus Christ. That's what's listed there. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may, and please look at this word. I'll never forget. I was up in an upper apartment. I had the glorious opportunity to talk to six people at the same time about Jesus Christ. It almost never happens. I'm up in this apartment. Believe it or not, they were all interested in hearing about it. I couldn't believe that. I asked the lady that was there, kind of the head of the household there, I said, ma'am, can I ask you a question? Do you know for sure that you're going to go to heaven when you die? She says, there's no way that you can know. I think there's a verse in there somewhere. I said, ma'am, can I look at your Bible sitting right there? Wouldn't you know it? King James Bible. Isn't God good? I saw it was King James before I ever asked her to look at it. I'll use my own, praise God. But I looked at it and said, man, King James Bible, if I could show it to her in hers. I opened it up. I said, could you read to me 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 through 13? And she got to the word no. I said, stop. What was that word you just said? And she looked and the light bulb went on. I can know. I really can. Six people at the same time asked the Lord to save them. Because they could know that they had eternal life. that they could know it. It's not contained to one group of people. It doesn't matter who you're talking to. They all can be saved. It's not conditional. You don't have to tell anybody. I don't care what they're occupied. I don't care what they're doing with their life. You don't have to tell anybody. You could go into Charles Manson's jail cell, which I do not suggest. But you could go into that jail cell and say, Charles Manson, you can be saved today. He can be saved today. It's not consequential. I've got it, now I've lost it. No, it isn't. That's not the way it works. Aren't you glad that if you look at this one more time, that ye may know. You may know that ye have eternal life. Ye may know that ye have eternal life. My salvation is never going to leave me. Not because of me, not because of my goodness, but because my Bible tells me that Jesus is the one that owns my salvation. He's the one that holds on to me. He's the one that says, I'm in His hand. Aren't you glad that your salvation is never going to leave? That ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. I love these verses because it tells me that my salvation is not handled by me. My salvation is handled by Him. I'm not going to take the time to belabor the point that we ought to go ahead and do our best to live godly because of His great salvation. But it's probably a good idea to live godly because of His wonderful salvation. He's gone to prepare a place for you. I think we owe Him a little while we're here. Is there ever enough you could do to pay Him for what He's done? No. But I think we ought to give it a shot. Amen. But that salvation is not contingent on that. Your salvation has already been paid for, bought and paid for by His blood shedding on that cross at Calvary. And it's never going to be taken away. Dear Lord, I thank You so much for this wonderful night. Lord, I thank You for the things that Your salvation is not. I thank You, Lord, that Your salvation is forever. I thank You, Lord, that I know, that I know, that I know, that I know that I have eternal life. I thank You, Lord, that I can give everyone else assurance only because Your Bible tells me that I can. Lord God, I hope and pray that we don't ever take for granted what eternal life really is. That we don't ever take for granted that wonderful payment that You made on Calvary. The one that became sin for us. Who knew no sin, that we may be made the righteousness of God in Him. Lord, You've done everything for us. All we've got to do is believe You. And I'm so thankful. I believe I'm standing in a room of people that know that they know that they know that if they were to die today, that they have eternal life waiting for them. Thank You for that wonderful promise. Dear Lord, if there's one in here that doesn't know You as Savior, please let them understand. It doesn't matter what their condition is. It doesn't matter where they've been, where they're going, where they are right now. It doesn't matter what they've done, what they're going to do, or what they're doing. All that matters is that they accept You. All that matters is that they ask You to save them. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. I'm so thankful for Your beautiful, perfect, wonderful, free gift of eternal life. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let's all stand together. What